This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. So we're continuing with the tafsir of Surah An-Nazi'at, and we started talking about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hal ataka hadithu Musa? Hal ataka hadithu Musa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him, Hal ataka hadithu Musa? Has the story of Musa not come to you? This is addressed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hal ataka? Has it come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the story of Musa? This has a number of benefits in it. The first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a question. He says, have you heard? Has it come to you? Have you been informed of the story of Musa? And we said that the scholars say this is للتشويق. And the meaning of that is that it is there to gain his attention and to make you want to hear about it. When Allah says to you, do you know about this story? Has it come to you what this story is? So you want to listen. You are like, I want to know what it's about. And from the benefits of this is that no one knows the ghaib except Allah. And that everything we know about the previous nations and the prophets of old, we know about it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. You were not present when they threw their lots about which of you were going to take care of Maryam. In the story of Maryam, when Zakariya took care of Maryam, right? He raised up Maryam. You were not there, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Zakariya was the one who drew the lot to take care of Maryam. You were not there when they argued with each other. You were not there when Musa went to Fir'aun. Who did you find this from? Who told you this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Qur'an, the one who taught you the Qur'an. Wa'allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam. He taught you what you didn't know before. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't know what happened when Musa went to Fir'aun. And what did Fir'aun say, and how did Musa address the issue? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him of it. Hal ataka hadithu Musa? Nobody knows the ghaib except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also directed towards the believers. So we say that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressed in the Quran, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. He's addressed, O Muhammad, say that Allah is one. This address is to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not to everybody. It's to one person. Qul. It doesn't say Qulu huwa Allahu ahad. All of you people say that Allah is one. Qul anta ya Muhammad. O Muhammad, say. However, these addresses in the Quran, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told something, it comes into two parts. There are the majority of them. Wal aslu fi dhalik. The basic principle is that this is for him and for his ummah after him. So when Allah said, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Qul ya Muhammad, huwa Allahu ahad, say, O Muhammad, that Allah is one, and your ummah after you say that Allah is one. Does that make sense? So it's for him, and his ummah is included after him because we are told to follow. لَقَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have the example in the Messenger of Allah, the best example. So you have to follow him. So when he is told, say Allah is one, you say Allah is one. هل أتاك حديث موسى? Did the story of Musa come to you, O Muhammad? And now you're asking yourself, who is a person reading the Quran and studying the Quran after the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, do you now know the story of Musa? However, there are some things in the Quran that came only for the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And those are من خصائصه, from the things that are only for him. And we have evidences for those. Yani, so the general ruling is, when Allah addresses the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in the Quran, it is for him, and we have to follow him in it. But sometimes there are things that are only for him, and there are evidences that those things are only for him and not for anyone else among the Muslims. There are examples of those in the Quran. So Allah Azza wa Jal invites the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and us after him to reflect upon the story of Musa. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى? Do you know the story of what happened to Musa? إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ, when his Lord called out to him. This إِذْ here, there are some different ways we can understand it. This word إِذْ here. Either it comes like we said before, udhkur idh, remember when. Remember when. Idh nadahu rabbuhu, remember when his Lord called upon him. So you're told, udhkur, remember when Allah called out to Musa. So Musa, he is Kalimullah, right? He's the one that Allah spoke to. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa directly. And Allah said, وَكَلَّمُهُ رَبُّهُ, his Lord spoke to him. And we said this is not unique to Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. However, it is what he is known by. It's a famous thing that Musa is known by, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa directly. وَكَلَّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. And the word nida, it's more specific than kalam. Kalam means to speak, right? Allah spoke to Musa. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa directly. However, also, the word nida is more general, is more specific. First of all, the word nida, it means to call out. And you can't say the word nida unless it is heard with the ear. You cannot say nida, for he put it in his heart. Does that make sense? If Allah put this knowledge in Musa's heart, you cannot call it nida. Because a nida in Arabic is when you call out to someone. Ya fulan! You call out to someone. This is a nida. You cannot say nida for something he put into his heart. So what does this teach us? It teaches from an aqidah point of view that Musa heard what Allah said. That it wasn't something that he put it in Musa's heart, or Musa saw it in a dream, or Musa just thought about it like ilham, it just came into his mind. He heard it with his ear. And you cannot use the word nida illa lima lahu harfun wa sawt, something that has a sound to it and letters to it. You can't say that something which is unheard is nida. So it has to have a sawt, it has to have a sound. So Allah Azza wa Jal called to Musa, إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ. And Allah mentions this call in many different ways. We said, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا وَكَلَّمُهُ رَبُّهُ إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. So many different ways Allah mentions this. So there is no doubt in the mind of the Muslim that Allah spoke to Musa directly. And it was not an imagination of Musa. It was not the fire spoke to him, like some people say the fire spoke to him, or Allah created the speech inside of the fire, or Allah created the understanding in Musa's heart. It's not like this. Allah spoke to Musa directly. إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ. Where did he speak to Musa? بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. طُوَى is the name of the valley. The scholars of tafsir, they say this valley, it is somewhere between Medina and Egypt. And some of them said it is in Sina or Sina. It is in the Sina peninsula, which is between the Arabian Peninsula and Egypt. And when you come from the north of the Arabian Peninsula and you go across the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula and then down into Egypt, this is the Sinai Peninsula, right? And this is approximately where the valley is. But the exact location of the valley is not known, and there is no benefit in a person trying to find it, because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to know where it was, He would have shown us where it is. And Allah would have shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the place of it, and this is where your followers should come, people should go to pray, people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us to know where this specific place is, except that it is a valley somewhere between the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula and Egypt. Somewhere in that region. More likely than not in the Sinai Peninsula, in Sina or Sina. And it's described as Muqaddas. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Al-Mutahhar Al-Mubarak. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar of tafsir, he said, Al-Mutahhar Al-Mubarak. It is that which is mutahhar. It's purified. Allah purified it. Allah made it a pure place. And Mubarak, and Allah made it a blessed place, a place of barakah. So it is a place which is pure and a place which is blessed. Al-Mutahhar, Al-Mubarak. And the word taqdis, like sometimes people translate as holy, but the word itself, it means purified. It means purified. So what is the name of Allah then? Al-Quddus. What's the meaning of that? Al-Quddus As-Salam. If the word taqdis, it means Al-Mutahhar, purified. They say Al-Quddus is the one who is pure of having any faults and flaws. He doesn't have any flaws, anything wrong with him at all. And it's like tanzih. We declare Allah to be free of all faults and flaws. So it's the same word, the same meaning of the word. Taqdis. This word holy, I don't know, this word holy, is it appropriate to use in English? I don't know, you have to look into what the word means. Sometimes you have to be careful a little bit about what words mean in English. Are those words appropriate to say about Allah or not? And why I'm saying that is, for example, the statement, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is able to do all things. He's qadir, right? Some of the translations of the Quran, they use the word competent. Allah is competent. The problem is that this word might be fine. I mean, you look at it in the dictionary and it says qadir and it says competent. Okay. But you have to look at what that word means. Is it appropriate to say about Allah? Because the word competent has a meaning in it of something which is muktasab, it's learnt. Not always, but that's what the word, if you hear the word competent, in it, what comes to your mind for the word competent is al-qudra al-muktasaba, something that you have acquired and learnt it. Ta'ala Allah amma yaqulun. High is Allah above what they say about Him. Allah did not learn something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not develop a skill that He did not have before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always and will always be Qadir. So sometimes we use words in English, we're trying to find the right word. I'm not saying they were using the wrong word. They're trying to find the right word, but sometimes the word itself might not be appropriate. So I don't know about this word holy. Like when they call it, they use the word holy, the holy Quran or the holy prophet. I don't know, you have to look at what that word means and understand, is that word appropriate to say about Islam or about the Quran or about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You first look at the word and what it means before you use that word. But the word muqaddas doesn't really mean holy in Arabic. The word muqaddas, which is my point, the word muqaddas, what it means is mutahhar. Purified, and the one that is, it has barakah in it. It has barakah. So, tabarakallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of barakah, and all barakah comes from him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessed in his names and his actions and his attributes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, the one that has no flaws or deficiencies in anything subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them said that Al-Quddus has an emphasis on that which has passed, and that As-Salam has an emphasis on that which is present, and Allah knows best. In any case, the meaning generally we understood. Tuwa is the name of the valley. Idhhab ila Fir'aun. Now the question is, this word idhhab ila Fir'aun, go to Fir'aun, how do we connect this to the ayat that came before? هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون. There are probably three ways of connecting it to the ayat which came before. The first is to say that this is the nida. This is what Allah called out to Musa. That's what Musa heard Allah say. He heard Allah say, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to فرعون. Fir'aun has certainly transgressed. اِذْهَبَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. So the first thing is to say that this is the nida. This is what he heard, what Allah called out to him. إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى اِذْهَبَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. However, we know that's not the only thing that Allah spoke to Musa about. Because we know in other surahs of the Quran, like Surah Taha, that more is explained. There is more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, but one of the things that Allah called out to Musa, or the summary of what Allah called out to Musa, اِذْهَبَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Go to Fir'aun, for he has certainly transgressed. The second thing is to say that the meaning here is أَنِذْهَبْ. And this is a qira'a غَيْرُ مُتَوَاتِرَةً. It's a recitation of the Qur'an which is not a standard recitation. Like, you know, you have the recitation of the Qur'an, and I don't want to overly confuse people, but just to get the idea, the recitation of the Qur'an we all recite, it is based upon the Mus'haf of Uthman radiallahu anhu, right? Uthman gathered the Sahaba together and they agreed unanimously, ijma'an, upon the Mus'haf. Happy so far? That Mus'haf, it contains all of the qira'at that we recite the Qur'an with. The different styles of recitation, all of them are contained. For example, in Surah Al-Nazi'at, the Jumhur, they recited, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. نَافِعْ and Ibn Kathir, they recited, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. This here, both of those are in the Mus'haf of Uthman. They didn't go outside of the Mus'haf of Uthman. تَزَكَّى and تَزَكَّى, both of them. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى وَأَنَّ اخْتَرْنَاكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Both of them are from the Mus'haf of Uthman. They sound different, they have different meanings, they have different understanding, but they both match the Mus'haf of Uthman. There are some qira'at, غير متواترة, they are not established by a large number of people. Maybe that one Sahabi used to recite like that. And they don't match the Mus'haf of Uthman. So we call them qira'atun shadha. They are, you can say, non-standard, not standard recitation of the Qur'an. One Sahabi recited like that, okay? Like, it wasn't, the Sahaba didn't agree upon it. One Sahabi recited like that, or two Sahaba recited like that. It wasn't something they all agreed upon, and it doesn't match the Mus'haf of Uthman. Someone says, why are we bothering with it then? Why does it concern us? It concerns us because it's authentic from that Sahabi. Now then, what do we do with it? We say, at the least we can say is that it's a tafsir. Why? Because even if it's not the Qur'an that the Prophet ﷺ or the Sahaba agreed upon, at the very least, أَقَلُّ مَا يُقَالُ, the least that you can say is that it's a tafsir. So it will benefit us if it's authentic from that sahabi, at least minimum, we will benefit from it in tafsir. So there is a qira'ah غير متواترة. There's a qira'ah that doesn't match the recitation, or doesn't match the Mus'haf of Uthman, and only one sahabi used to recite it. أنذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. That tells us that this is, inshallah, the tafsir of the ayah. That Allah said, when Allah called out to Musa, that what Allah said, the summary of it was, the message of it was, أنذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. That you go to Fir'aun, for Fir'aun has transgressed. Fir'aun is a name for every ruler of Egypt. Everyone who ruled Egypt in that time, they were known as Fir'aun. So Fir'aun was not one person. The Fir'aun who is mentioned in the Quran is one person. The Fir'aun that Musa went to is one person. But the title Fir'aun is a title, not a name. It's not his name, it's his title. Every king of Egypt was known as Fir'aun, Pharaoh. And every king of Rome, or of the Byzantine and the Roman Empire, was known as Caesar, right? As Caesar, as Caesar. And every king of Persia was known as Kisra, as Khosrow. So these are titles, not people. The Fir'aun that Musa went to was one Fir'aun. But before him there was Fir'aun, and Allah knows best after him what happened. But there was, the kings of Egypt of that period were all called Fir'aun. But this Fir'aun is one particular Fir'aun. Which Fir'aun was it? Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Or some people who researched it, and they put forward some theories about that it was this particular Fir'aun, and that the body, because we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla preserved his body. لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً, so that you could be a sign for those people who come after. So we know that the body of Fir'aun that Musa went to was preserved, and even after he drowned. And he was drowned in the sea, when his body was kept for the people, to be a sign for all the people of what happens when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you reject the prophets and their message, alayhi salatu wassalam. So we know that his body was kept and preserved, and some of the people, they say there is a particular Fir'aun that was found and his body was waterlogged, he was drowned inside of the river, inside of the sea, he was drowned in the sea, and they found his body after that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best which Fir'aun it was. But we know there was one Fir'aun that Musa went to, but that Fir'aun is a title. اِذْهَبَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Tughyan is tajawuz al-had, right? To go beyond the limits, go over the limits that were set to you. So to go beyond all of the limits, cross every kind of limit. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even describes the water like that. The water in the time of Nuh, when the water came and it filled every place in the earth. What did Allah say? Allah described it, tagha al-ma. The water, it crossed all of its limits. It crossed there was no riverbank, there was no edge of the sea, there was no beach, it just went over everything. إِنَّ لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَاء. When the water, it crossed every limit. So that's what the word itself means, تُغْيَان, and to go over all boundaries and cross all the limits. So when a person does that, like Fir'aun, he crossed every limit. I mean, Fir'aun, he claimed al-rububiyya wal-uluhiyya. He claimed to be a lord, and he claimed to be a god. As for claiming to be a lord, in the same surah al-Nazi'at, وَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He said, I am your lord, the most high. And he said to his people, that I do not know that you have any ilah other than me, any god other than me. So he claimed to be an ilah, and he claimed to be a rabb. He claimed al-rububiyya wal-uluhiyya. So he crossed every boundary. There was no boundary left. And some people, they told the people that I am a wali, I am like a saint or a special person. Some people, they went further than that. They said, you should They claimed worship. You should worship. But Fir'aun, he crossed even the boundary of claiming to be a lord. And he claimed to be a lord and he claimed to be an ilah. He crossed every single boundary. And we said that the benefit here, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى, this is the rabit, that what connects the story to what came before. That the reason that Allah mentioned the story of Musa in this surah is this surah is talking about what? Al-Ba'th wa Nushur. It's talking about resurrection and Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And therefore, the reason to mention this story is this is what will happen to the people who cross the limit set by Allah. This is what will happen to the people who deny the resurrection, because Fir'aun was their imam, right? Fir'aun was the imam of the people who denied the prophets, the leader of them, because he crossed every boundary. He was their leader. Now all the people who denied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they rejected him, and they made argumentation with him, and they disbelieved in him, and they ridiculed him, and they called him names. Who is their imam? Their imam is Fir'aun. And so now, what happened to Fir'aun, Allah is threatening them. If you behave like Fir'aun when the Prophet Muhammad comes to you with a message, and you deny it, and you have takabbur, you have pride and arrogance, and you insult the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you reject him and you try to harm him like Fir'aun tried to harm Musa, then what will happen to you is what will happen to your imam and your leader. Look at what happened to him and take a lesson. Inna fi dhalika la'ibaratan liman yakhsha. In this there is a lesson for a person who fears Allah. طيب. This qira'ah, by the way, the qira'ah that we said that is غير متواتر is the qira'ah of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. This is really important. I want to stop on this ayah for a little while. فَقُلْ, say to Fir'aun or Musa, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ. Look at the way that he speaks to Fir'aun. He speaks to him so gently. Halaka, do you think that you should tazakka, you should purify, you should be purified or purify yourself? So the first thing we want to take from this ayah is we want to take from the ayah softness in da'wah. Al-rifq wal-leen fi da'wah ila Allah ta'ala. Being soft and gentle. Nobody was more oppressive than Fir'aun. Fir'aun was the leader of the mukaththibin, the leader of those people who argued with the prophets and rejected them. And yet, subhanAllah, look at how gently Musa spoke to Fir'aun. فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. What do you think for yourself if you were to purify yourself? Gentle speech in a da'wah ila Allah ta'ala. And for this, really, you have to ask yourself, why are you calling to Allah? Why are you calling to Allah? Are you calling to Allah because you want people to change? Or are you calling to Allah because you want to, you know, you want to break that person and you want to ridicule that person and you want to destroy that person? If you are calling because you want someone to change, you speak to them in a way that you want them to change, not in a way that you want to just beat them up and, you know, show how. Like, there are times when you do that. فَشَرِّدْ بِهِمْ مَنْ خَلْفَهُمْ. And he destroy these people in battle so that everyone after them will learn what happens when you fight against the Muslims. فَشَرِّدْ بِهِمْ مَنْ خَلْفَهُمْ. Give an example, slaughter them, give an example for everyone who comes after. That's a one way. But don't confuse that with a da'wah ila Allah ta'ala. فَقُلْ لَهُ قَوْلًا فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Say a gentle word, perhaps he will remember or he will fear. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ. And here the second benefit we want to take from the ayah is that Musa didn't say, I am the one who's going to purify you. He didn't say, I, ana uzakkik, I'm here to purify you. He said to Fir'aun, like, it's your choice. Yani, I'm here to present to you the opportunity for you to purify yourself. He didn't say, I'm here to purify you. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّى. What do you think? Would you not now take this opportunity for you to purify yourself? That now it's in your choice now. And also particularly from the ayah, we learn the way that we deal with the al-kubara, the senior people in the society, especially. Because if you go to this person and you start, you know, like, screaming at them and shouting at them, they will not take a lesson from it. It will not change them. It doesn't matter that Fir'aun was the worst, I mean, the worst person you can go to. You cannot go to somebody worse than Fir'aun. And yet still, the goal here is for him to change. The goal is for him to be, to purify himself. فَهَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. Now what's amazing about this ayah is that Allah Azza wa Jal knows that Fir'aun will not listen. And he knows that Fir'aun will reject everything Musa said. And he knows that Fir'aun will be destroyed with a destruction that will be an ayah for everyone who comes after him. But still he gives him a chance. Look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from this mercy is what we know about, or what we are told about in the death of Fir'aun, right? When Fir'aun was dying, that Jibril was stuffing the mud from the seabed into his mouth because he was frightened. He will say, La ilaha illallah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the gentleness of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ar-Ra'uf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most kind, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, subhanAllah, look, sent Musa to Fir'aun, even though Fir'aun is the leader of the Mukathibin, be gentle with him. Say to him, what do you think? فَهَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. What do you think if you were to purify yourself? So here he didn't say, أُزَكِّيك, I'm going to purify you. You have to make the decision to change. You have to make the decision to have zakah. So we now ask ourselves, what is the zakah that Fir'aun was being asked to have? It's not zakatul mal, right? It's not like, what do you think, Fir'aun, if you give charity? That's not the meaning of the ayah, right? To give charity. What is the zakah that Musa was asking Fir'aun for? Zakah, it comes with two meanings, right? It comes with the meaning of at-tathir, to purify yourself, and an-nama, to develop yourself. This is the meaning of a zakah. Even in zakatul mal, zakah and your money is the same thing. Tathir, you purify your money. Wan-nama, you increase your money. You get more money. When you give zakah, you get more money back. When you give charity, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ كَمَا مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Wealth never decreased from charity. So the meaning of zakah in charity and outside of it is التطهير والنماء, to purify and to develop. And this is what we talk about, zakat al-nafs or tazkiyat al-nafs. How do you purify yourself? That's what Musa is calling Fir'aun to. Come to purify yourself. How can Fir'aun purify himself? Through two things. He purifies himself through two things, which he didn't. He didn't listen to Musa, but he was told to purify himself through two things. First of all, to purify himself of ashirk billahi azza wa jal, of making a partner with Allah and disobeying the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. The second thing he was called to is to develop himself by iman, by knowing Allah and his names and his attributes, by learning the religion and practicing it. So this is tazkiyatun nafs. Tazkiyatun nafs revolves around two things. Tazkiyatun nafs revolves around purifying yourself of sin and developing yourself with knowledge and action. This is tazkiyatun nafs. Purifying yourself of sin and developing yourself with knowledge and action. That's what Musa called Fir'aun to. Leave the shirk. Leave your statement, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Leave your statement, I don't believe that you have any ilah other than me. Leave this. Purify yourself from it. Purify yourself from this disobedience. Purify yourself from the haram. Purify yourself from the dhulm that you're doing to Bani Israel. Purify yourself. And then develop yourself with iman and righteous actions. Develop yourself by knowing Allah and His names and His attributes. We said there are two qira'at here, right? Qira'at mutawatira. There is the qira'at of the jumhur. They said, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّى تَزَكَّى, like that. And Nafi' and Ibn Kathir, rahimahumullah ta'ala, تَزَكَّى. The two mean very similar. They both mean تَزْكِيَةٌ nafs. But one has a bit more emphasis than the other. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّى. There is more emphasis, and Allah knows best. That you purify yourself by leaving off the haram that you're doing, leaving off the shirk you are doing, leaving off the disobedience you are doing, leaving off the dhulm that you are doing, and turning to Allah with iman and righteous actions. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ. And this is what Musa is talking about, النَّمَاء, developing yourself. I will guide you. Who will guide? Musa. Why will Musa guide? Because guidance is two types. What are the two types of guidance? The guidance which is only from Allah, and the guidance which can be from Allah and from other than Allah. So what's the guidance that is only from Allah? And what's the guidance that could come from a prophet or a teacher or an imam or someone like that? What's the difference between those two types of guidance? There is a guidance that only comes from Allah. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبَتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You don't guide who you want, but Allah guides whoever He wills. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is hadi, that he is a guide for those who believe. إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ, to a straight path. So what is the guidance that is only from Allah, and what is the guidance that can come from the Prophets alayhi wassalatu wasalam? Can anyone explain to me what the difference is between those two types of guidance? Because here Musa says, I will guide you. وَأَهْدِيَكَ, I, me, Musa, I'm going to guide you. But Allah said, only Allah guides. So there has to be two types of guidance. One that comes from Musa and one that comes from Allah. Which one is which?
The first one is to be a Muslim. For example, nowadays we see a lot of non-Muslim. So they misguide themselves. So we as Muslim.
So okay, so to be guided, yani to be like to be a Muslim. Okay. Very good. So the second one, I 100% agree with you. To someone to explain to you what Islam is all about. That is the guidance that comes from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the guidance which comes from your teacher. And this guidance is the guidance of what Islam is all about. And show you which way to go. We call it al-irshad. To show you which way to go. Like, this is the right way. This is what you should do. This is how you should pray. This is how you should fast. This is how you should believe in Allah. This is this guidance, the guidance of irshad, of showing you what to do. This is why the prophets were sent, alayhi salatu wasalam. They were sent to show you what to do. The guidance which is only from Allah. Do we have anyone on Telegram had a different answer? Hidayah, okay. Hidayah, both of them are hidayah. But one is hidayat al-irshad, the hidayah of showing you what to do, and the other one is the hidayah of what?
From Allah. Only Allah can give you the hidayah, no one else.
But Musa said, وَأَهْدِيَكَ, I'm going to give you hidayah, Fir'aun. I came to give you Fir'aun hidayah. We said, Abdul Baqi correctly said, that this hidayah, it means the hidayah of showing you what to do, showing you your religion. This is your religion. So the hidayah of Musa is the hidayah of showing the religion and teaching you what to do. The hidayah that comes only from Allah is what? What's the word we're looking for? There's a word we're looking for. I know you explained it good, you explained it well, jazakallahu khairan, with the issue of to be a Muslim, but I want someone to give me the word for it. Do we have anyone on Telegram? They're typing. Okay, let them type.
Is that about
nearly. Sorry? The guidance of Iman, okay. Okay, but the Prophet can show you how to have Iman. The Prophet can show you what you need to do to have Iman. What is it that only Allah can do?
Stay away from shirk.
The Prophet can show you how to stay away from shirk, but only Allah... Okay, you're getting there, you're right, but you're just looking for a word. Did anyone have it on Telegram? The Prophet can guide you to become a Muslim, show you how to become a Muslim. But only Allah can make it happen. Tawfiq is the word we're looking for. Only Allah can actually make it happen. Musa can show Fir'aun how to be a good Muslim, but he cannot make Fir'aun actually be that good Muslim. Only Allah can do that. So when he said, وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ, he means, I will show you how to be a Muslim. But to actually successfully be a Muslim and to be guided to the success of Islam, only that can only come from Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, one of the most amazing stories in this, about this hidayah, is the story of Abu Talib. Abu Talib was the Prophet's uncle. And Abu Talib defended the Prophet ﷺ. He loved Islam. He praised Islam in his poetry. He gave his reputation, his life, his wealth to defend the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ loved him and gave him da'wah and showed him and gave him guidance of how to be Muslim. But on his deathbed, what did Abu Talib say? بَلْ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ, I die upon the religion of the idol worshippers. I die upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib. So what happened? The Prophet ﷺ gave him hidayah. He gave him irshad. He showed him what to do. But he didn't get the tawfiq from Allah to actually, in the end of his life, to actually choose that way. He didn't get the tawfiq from Allah. One of the most amazing things about this story is that at that moment of his death, there were two people present besides the Prophet ﷺ. Among those, one of those people became Muslim. One of the people that was telling Abu Talib to disbelieve, himself became Muslim. Subhanallah, the one that the Prophet ﷺ was making all the efforts to become Muslim, he didn't become Muslim. And the one that was trying to take him away from Islam, one of those people who were present at that time became Muslim. Later on, became Muslim. Subhanallah, hidayah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of tawfiq, being given success to be able to practice Islam. That's only in the hands of Allah azza wa jal. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. They said, Alhamdulillah, the one who guided us to this, and we were not able to be guided unless Allah had guided us. The Prophet showed us what to do. That's hidayah. He showed us what to do. But only to actually do it and implement it, that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So the statement of وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, I will guide you and show you how to come near to your Lord. This is the nama, tazkiyatun nafs. So I will show you how to purify yourself from sin, and how to get rid of this shirk that you have fallen into and telling people you are a god besides Allah. I will show you how to repent, and I will show you how to come near to your Lord. And look at how Musa in this, there is this implicit rebuke from Musa. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, I'm going to show you who your real Lord is. Not the Lord that you think you are, but I'm going to show you who your real Lord is. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. And if you are guided to know your Lord through His names and His attributes and His actions, and Musa was telling Fir'aun about Allah's names, about Allah's attributes, about Allah's actions. We know this because what did Fir'aun say? This is amazing what Fir'aun said. He said, يَا هَمَان أُبْنِي لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغَ الْأَسْبَابِ. He said, oh Haman, build me a staircase. I want to climb up into the sky. Why? فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِ مُوسَىٰ. I want to look at the God of Musa. Where did Fir'aun learn that the God of Musa is in the sky? Is above the heavens. From Musa. Musa told him, وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. I'm going to show you who is your Lord, his names and his attributes and his actions. And Fir'aun didn't listen. He made fun. He said, Haman, build me a staircase. I want to climb all the way up into the heavens and I want to look at the God of Musa. وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَاذِبًا. But I think that Musa is lying to me. يعني I don't believe what he says, that there is a God who is above the heavens. And that's why the scholars, they say, how strange is it that you have Muslims today who don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens, which Fir'aun even recognized. For how can you, what good can there be in a person that Fir'aun knows more about Allah than them? Don't be one of those people. Don't be someone that Fir'aun knows more about Allah than you do. When Fir'aun said, oh Haman, build me a staircase so that I can climb up to the top of the heavens and I look at the God of Musa. Because Musa taught Fir'aun about who is Allah, who is your Lord. This is how you get tazkiyah. This is how you're going to purify yourself. You know who your Lord is. You know about his names. You know about his attributes. You know about his actions. You know about what he deserves in terms of worshipping him alone. Why do you worship Allah alone? You worship Allah alone because of his names and his attributes and his actions. Because nobody has those names and attributes except him. Nobody does what he does except him. There is no Lord except him, no creator except him, no provider except him. So there is no one that deserves to be worshipped except him. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ. And if you allow me to show you and to guide you to know your Lord, فَتَخْشَىٰ, you will fear your Lord. And that shows that al-khashya, and al-khashya is al-khawf ma'al ilm. It's al-khashya is not the word, there's a difference between khawf and khashya. Khawf is fear. But you can be scared of something and not really know what it is. Have you ever seen little kids who are scared of the dark and or scared of like, I'm scared of the, I don't know, the big cars, or I'm scared of like, you know, I'm scared of the thunder or lightning, or any, they could be scared of something they don't really know what it is. So they are scared of it. They don't really understand why they are scared, they're just scared of it. Like people say, look, I'm scared of like the dark. But they don't have something specific, they are just scared. This is what we call khawf. But al-khashya is al-khawf ma'al-ilm. It's when you know what you are scared of and you completely understand why you're scared of it. And that's what happens when you know Allah. When you know Allah, what you take from that is al-khashya. You become scared of Allah, not like you don't understand, but scared of Allah because you know about his names and his attributes. You know who your Lord is. You know that he is shadid al-iqab, sari' al-hisab, that he is severe in punishment and severe in taking to account. You know that he is dhuntiqam, that he takes retribution. You know that he is the one who destroyed Ad and Thamud, and he destroyed the people of Lut, and he destroyed the people of Nuh. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يرد بأسه عن القوم المجرمين, that Allah's punishment cannot be repelled from the criminal people. And when you know that about Allah, فَتَخْشَى, you become scared of Allah, not out of something you don't know, but you become scared because you do know. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ was the most knowledgeable of everyone about Allah, and he was more scared of Allah than anyone else. And you would think that would be the opposite, right? You would think that the Prophet ﷺ, who Allah said, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, everything from your sins has been forgiven. وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمًا, and all of the blessings are going to come to you, and Allah is going to guide you to the straight path, and Allah has given you the best place in paradise. عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, Allah will give you the highest station in paradise. And still, after all of that, the Prophet ﷺ was more scared of Allah than anyone else. Nobody was scared of Allah like him. And that shows the more you know about Allah, it will give you khashya. It will not just give you khawf, like you're just scared, like you're scared of just something you don't know. But you are scared because you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do if He wills to those people who disobey Him. And you know that you are a person who disobeys Allah. You and me and everybody else, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did before to the people who disobeyed Him. Look at what Allah did to Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa to Fir'aun and He gave him a chance. فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. And what happened? إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً لِمَن يَخْشَى. There was a sign for all those people who fear Allah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do to the people who disobey and the people who disbelieve. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. Musa showed Fir'aun الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى, the major sign. So I want to ask a question. What was the major sign that Musa showed Fir'aun? The stick that became a snake. That's the majority of the scholars of tafsir, they said this. Does anyone else have any other sign? فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. He showed him the great miracle, the big sign. All of the prophets came with ayat from Allah. They came with miracles and mu'jizat. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. By the way, the miracles of the prophets, they were matched to the person they came to, right? So for example, Fir'aun, his people, what was their expertise? What were they like? Mahir in it. They were expert in it. The people of Fir'aun. Magic. Magic. Sihr. Like Fir'aun said, "Utuni bi kulli sahirin alim." Bring me all of the most knowledgeable magicians. So Musa brought an ayah, a sign from Allah that destroyed their magic. So the magicians, what did they do? فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. All of the magicians, they fell down in sajda because they knew this is not magic. We know magic. We are, you know, the best of the best in this field, in this knowledge. We know it. And we know that what Musa brought was not magic. It could not be magic. There is nobody can do magic like that. It was not magic. It was a sign for a people who practiced magic that what Allah has, there is no magic like this. This is beyond magic. This is a miracle. The people of Isa, what were they? Their expertise? What was their, you know, they were known for? One of the things the scholars mentioned, they were known for their knowledge of medicine and their, you know, their level of education. They were educated. They were very educated people and they had knowledge of, you know, medicine and culture and civilization and so on. And Isa brought them miracles that were beyond medicine. He brought the dead to life. He cured the leper by the permission of Allah. He cured the blind man by the permission of Allah. He brought them a miracle that was above, in their field, but was above what they could ever imagine. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then, what was his people's expertise? Poetry. Language and poetry. They were the people of language and poetry. And that's why they had the mu'allaqat. The mu'allaqat, you heard of them, the poems, they wrote them and they hung them on the Kaaba. Some of them said there were 10, al-mu'allaqat al-ashar. There were 10 poems. They hung them on the Kaaba because of this. Nobody in history had language like them and poetry like them. So what was the miracle the Prophet ﷺ brought to them? The Qur'an. The Qur'an that they all admit, this is not poetry. There is nobody, there is no poet on the face of the earth who can speak like this. This is not poetry. There is no way. And that's why when you hear the Qur'an, you never confuse the Qur'an with anything else. You ever heard the Qur'an and thought, or maybe is it music or is it Qur'an? Straight away you know, it doesn't matter what the Qari is, you know that it's the Qur'an. Because this Qur'an is not like anyone else's speech. Even poetry, you know, Arabic poetry. If I play Arabic poetry for you and I play Qur'an, you will never mix them up. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This is not the statement of a poet. So each prophet was sent. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. So we said one of the ayat al-kubra was the staff. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى What is in your right hand, O Musa? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّوْ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى It's my stick that I lean upon it and I shepherd my sheep with it because all of the prophets were shepherds. I shepherd وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي I use it for pushing my sheep. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى And I have other things I use it for as well. قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى He said, throw it, O Musa. فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى He threw it and it became a snake that moved. The amazing thing about the staff of Musa, by the way, is that this snake was a real snake. As for the magicians of Fir'aun, what did they do? فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى They caused it through magic to shake like a snake. They threw their ropes and their sticks on the floor and they made their ropes and their sticks move like a snake from sihr, with magic. This magic was disbelief, by the way. It was not like a card trick like, you know, this. Can you see this penny? Now you can't see it. It was sihr. Yani they did it through magic. But they made the people see that it looks like a snake and the rope is moving along the floor like a snake. What did Musa have? A real snake. And his stick turned into a real snake. And then what did the snake do? It ate up all the other ropes and the sticks that they threw down. It devoured them all. And then it came back to a stick. This is not magic. This is a miracle. So this is one of the ayat. What was the other ayat? فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى He showed him the major ayat.
The sea became two.
Okay, this is true, but this sea becoming two, it can't be referred to here because this is afterwards. And you're right, this is a major sign that Musa, he split the sea by the permission of Allah into two big mountains and there was a path. فَضْرِبَ لَهُمْ that he made a path in the sea that was yabasa, it was dry, a dry path in the sea between the two. But this came afterwards. What was the other ayah?
The light that he put his hands under.
Yeah, his hand came out. وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ فِي جَيْبِكَ يَخْرُجَ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةٍ أُخْرَى That put your hand into your cloak or into your clothing, it will come out bright white without any illness in it. Yani there will be no sickness in it. Another ayah. In ayatan, yani in ghayri su, without min ghayri su'in, ayatan ukhra, another sign. These two ayat, what did Allah say? لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى This is why we have to link the parts of the Qur'an together. In Surah Taha, Allah said, this is so we could show you the ayat al-kubra, the big ayat, the major ayat, meaning the stick and the hand. And that's why the majority of the scholars of tafsir, they said, فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى In Surah An-Nazi'at, it means the stick and the hand. Some of them said it means the nine calamities that came to the people of Fir'aun, the blood and the frogs and the lice and the all of these different the signs that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gave to them. These signs, some of them said this is al ayat al kubra. However, why we think this is not al ayat al kubra is for two reasons. First of all, Allah described the staff and the hand as al-ayat al-kubra in Surah Taha. So it's better that we should match the tafsir, yani the tafsir of Surah Taha with the tafsir of Surah An-Nazi'at. So Allah said, لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى To show you some of our major signs. That's one reason. The second reason is because these signs that were sent, the frogs and the lice and the blood and so on, all of them could be explained. They could have tried to explain them by, this came because of the season, this came because of, you know, the weather, this came because, there was ways they could argue it. This came because of this. They actually didn't. And that's one of the an interesting points, that the people of Fir'aun, when they saw these signs, they knew it was from Allah. They came back and they said to Musa, make dua to your Lord, bima ahida indak, by what he has given you to promise us, that if he removes this harm from us, we will believe in you and we will send the people of children of Israel with you. However, the sign that they could not deny was a clear miracle from Allah is the staff and the hand. So that's why the majority of the scholars of tafsir, they said, فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةِ الْكُبْرَى is the staff and the hand. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةِ الْكُبْرَى فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. I've got a question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكَذَّبَ, he denied, وَعَصَى, and he disobeyed. What's the difference between these two, or what's the wisdom in mentioning these two things? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say, فَكَذَّبَ فِرْعَوْن مُوسَى, for example. Fir'aun disbelieved in Musa. فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. He disbelieved and he disobeyed. We'll try from the brothers who are here first, and then if not, we will ask Muhammad.
If you say like Fakad, they were like, you deny everything, which is true, like, you don't believe in anything. A wasa, asa is like something you believe, but you might don't do it. Like.
Okay. So the kadhaba refers to his he didn't believe in it, and asa, he didn't do it.
Yeah, like asa, you know something, but it should...
Yeah, he might know something, but he didn't. Okay, yeah. Good. Do we have any answers on Telegram for it also? What do you think?
It's not only, for example, he don't believe in it, but he stayed against it. Against, you know.
Okay, very good. It's not just that he didn't believe in it, but he also... stayed against it and stood against it. Very good. Let's see if we have on Telegram.
They keep the same action of hearts and actual things and actions.
For Kadaba, the same action of the heart.
Okay, so actions of the heart and actions of the limbs. All of these are very valid points. Ibn Kathir, he said, فَكَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ وَخَالَفَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ مِنَ الطَّاعَةِ. Ibn Kathir, he said, he denied the truth in his heart, meaning in his heart, and he disobeyed the command to follow the messenger. So there are two ways to look at it. First of all, كَذَّبَ, it relates between him and Allah in his heart. And between him and Allah, in his heart, he didn't accept what Musa said. He didn't believe in what Musa said. But when it comes to the prophets, what are we commanded? We are commanded, tasdiquhu fima akhbar wa ta'atuhu fima amar. We're commanded to believe and we're commanded to obey. So he neither believed in Allah, nor did he obey what Musa commanded him with. He didn't believe. He didn't send Bani Israel. He didn't obey what he was told. He didn't follow Musa in what Musa told him to do. So he didn't obey Musa in his actions, and he didn't believe in Allah in his heart. And this idea of believing in Allah and also following the messenger, this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is from all of the prophets. They all had this. And that's why, what do we have in the beginning of Surah Nuh, for example? What did Nuh? Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi. Okay. Qala ya qawmi. Inni lakum nadhirun mubin. An i'budu Allaha wattaquhu wa ati'u. Nuh, when he came to his people, he said what? Worship Allah and fear him and obey me. That's what all the prophets came with. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every prophet came with worship Allah and follow and obey the prophet. Worship Allah, obey the prophet. Worship Allah, obey the prophet. That's what all the prophets came with. In Islam, we express this with La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. But every prophet came with La ilaha illallah, worship Allah and obey the prophet that was sent to you. So to emphasize that Fir'aun didn't do any of those things, فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. He denied Allah and he didn't believe in Allah, and he disobeyed Musa and he didn't follow him. فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى, we said, we spoke about. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. Ibn Kathir, he said, فِيهِ, he said, فِي مُقَابَلَةِ الْحَقِّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَهُوَ جَمْعُهُ السَّحَرَةِ لِيُقَابِلُوا مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مُوسَى مِنَ الْمُعْجِزَاتِ الْبَاهِرَاتِ. Ibn Kathir, he said, ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. أَدْبَرَ, what does أَدْبَرَ mean? In أَدْبَرَ, he turned away. He turned away. And the he turned away here. يَسْعَى. And يَسْعَى, we said السَّعِي, it means to strive and make his efforts. So he turned away from the haqq. He turned away from the truth. And he strove towards the batil. That's the meaning of فَأَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى. He turned away from the truth. وَسَعَى فِي الْبَاطِلِ. And he strived and made his efforts in the batil, in falsehood. What did he do to make his efforts in falsehood? What Allah said, فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. فَحَشَرَ, he gathered together all of the people, or he gathered together the magicians. He gathered together the magicians. So the meaning of سَعِي here is al-amal, to do actions, but to do it with efforts. And he made a huge effort to oppose the truth. So it wasn't that he just denied what Musa came with, and he just said to Musa that I don't believe in you, and you know, you can go now. You know, he made every effort to destroy the message that Musa came with. ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى. Then he turned around. ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. Then he turned around and he made his efforts in falsehood. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. And he gathered together. He gathered together the people, or he gathered together the magicians. He did both, right? أُؤْتُونِي بِكُلِّ سَاحِرٍ عَلِيمٍ. Go to the all of the different cities, all of the different towns and villages, and bring me every knowledgeable magician. And he gathered the people because Musa asked, make between me and you. فَجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْعِدًا. Make an appointment between you and me. لَا نُخْلِفُهُ نَحْنُ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتَ مَكَانًا سُوَى. Make, you and me, we will not break this appointment. We will stick to it. The time that we were given, we will come. And the time that he said, مَوْعِدُكُمْ يَوْمَ الزِّينَةِ وَأَن يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ ضُحَى. That the day is the day of Zina, the day of the celebration that they had. All the people will gather together. So Fir'aun gathered the magicians with a plan in order to destroy these miracles that Musa came with, to try to destroy them. Fir'aun gathered together all of his magicians to try to destroy these miracles. And he gathered together all of the people to watch. And Musa came, and the famous event happened when the snake that came from the stick of Musa, that the miracle that Allah gave him, it ate up all of the other snakes, and the magicians fell down in sajda. قَالُوا أَمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. They said, we believe in the Lord of all of the worlds, the Lord of Musa and Harun. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. And he said, I am your Lord, the Most High. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. يعني فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. Ibn Kathir, he said, فِي قَوْمِهِ, He gathered his people together and he called his people, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. They said, قال ابن عباس ومجاهد وهذه الكلمة قالها فرعون بعد قوله ما علمت لكم من إله غيري. The first thing Fir'aun said is, I do not believe that you have any ilah other than me, any god other than me. And they said, بِأَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. After that, 40 years passed, and Fir'aun said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَالَى. I am your Lord, the Most High. So in the beginning, Fir'aun said to his people, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي. I don't know that you have any god other than me. And then 40 years passed, and he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَالَى. I am your Lord, the Most High. And he said this when he gathered the people, for the maw'id between Musa, the appointment or the event that happened between Musa and the magicians of Fir'aun. Fir'aun called out to his people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. 40 years after, he said to them, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي. I don't know that you have any God that deserve, that you, I don't know that you have any God other than me. So he declared himself an ilah, and he's someone that deserves to be worshipped, and he declared himself to be a Rabb, a Lord. Some of them said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْعَالَى, يعني أَنَا الْمَلِكُ. I am your king, the Most High, and I am your Lord, the Most High. Because one of the meanings of the word Rabb is the king, the supreme sovereign. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. This we're going to take a little bit of time, so I think we'll stop here, because we're going to talk about what is meant by the fact that Allah seized him, the seizing of al-akhirah and al-ula. Some of them said al-akhirah wal-ula, yani in the dunya and the akhirah. Yani Allah seized him and punished him in the akhirah and in the dunya. And there are other opinions as well, so we're going to talk about those in more detail in the next class, inshallah, because this has been, I think, a long class now. It's been long enough. How long did we go for now? Yeah, over an hour. So I think, inshallah, we can stop there. We can come back to it, inshallah ta'ala. And we can look at this statement of Fir'aun when he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Allah punished him with the punishment of al-akhirah and al-ula. And we're going to talk about what that means in the next class. So do we have, until then, do we have any questions? I don't know that you can take any particular ruling, hukum, from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ. You are in the pure valley of Tuwa. You are in the pure valley of Tuwa. Take off your shoes. I don't think you can extract a particular ruling from it, because this is shar'u man qablana. It's from the sharia that came before our sharia, right? And our sharia, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sallu fi ni'alikum," or kama qal, pray in your shoes. Taban, that's not in the masjid, because in the masjid we have a carpet, and it doesn't make sense to come in your shoes and make a mess on the carpet. But the original ruling in Islam is you pray in your shoes. You don't take off your shoes to pray. Sallu fi ni'alikum, aw kama qal, pray in your shoes. So this is shar'una, our sharia. And there is shar'u man qablana, there's a sharia that came before. The ruling of the sharia that came before is, if there is no contradiction between the sharia that came before and our sharia, we take it. And if there is no contradiction. But if there is a new law in our sharia which is different from the sharia that came before, so we implement that. Otherwise, we say it's amrun khas, and it's unique to Musa and that situation. And there's no evidence here that all of the Muslims were commanded, if you go to the valley of Tuwa, take off your shoes. It's amrun khas. It's unique to Musa alayhi salam, or it's shar'u min qablana, sharia before us. Allah knows best. Is it?
Is it impermissible to see the body of who is claimed to be the Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam's time if one's visiting Egypt, since one should not visit the towns that receive punishment?
I don't think that we have that much clarity to know which body it is. But I don't advise people, I mean, my advice to people is that, you know, like sometimes these things which people go to visit, historical places and so on. You are right, there is a hadith about if you come to a place where Allah's punishment is there, you go quickly. You know, you don't linger in a place where Allah's punishment came to a people. You don't stay there and, you know, just, you know, kind of enjoy it and visit it and look at it. If Allah's punishment came to a person in a place, you go quickly. But also, I don't know that's where the punishment came. For example, if that body is in Cairo, the punishment, you know, didn't come in that place. Does that make sense? That's not where the punishment came. But the problem is when you go to visit these things, like these sites where the bodies of the Fir'aun people, they are there. The thing that I worry, there's a lot of mahvurat shar'iyya there. There's a lot of shar'i, like things that are haram. People are, you know, like all kinds of things go on in those places that are not Islamically right. So I feel like people shouldn't visit them. You know, like. But for example, if there was a body of Fir'aun in a museum here, would you be able to visit it? I don't know what the ruling on that is. Allah made his body a sign for those who came after. But I wouldn't advise people to go to Egypt to visit the places of Fir'aun. Allah knows best. Especially the pyramids where you have to bow down to go in. You know, they made the pyramids so you have to bow to go inside of it.
May I have something to say?
You can, of course.
Did those people lie at Fir'aun's time? Did they worship him? Because he says, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la." So did those people worship him?
That's what it appears, and he invited them to worship him. I don't know much about what those people used to do for him. Did they used to bow to him? Did they used to sacrifice to him? Or did they used to do other things? But he invited them to do it. That's what I know of. I don't actually, it's an interesting question. Maybe I will research and try to find for you if we know of some of the things that his people did, apart from obedience to him, yani some of the things his people did to show that worship they had of him. I don't know, do you know of anything?
In terms of worship?
And what his people did when he said, "Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri," what his people used to do for him.
If I'm not mistaken, from non-Islamic sources, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that they did worship him. In terms of ruku' and sujood and things like that.
Ruku' and sujood.
Yes, and he was seen as the manifestation of a god on earth. So
they believed him to be like a manifestation of God on earth.
Of God, because they believed in multiple gods. Everything had a god. The sun had a god, the moon had a god, death had a god, the underworld had a god. Something like that. So, and he was, and he had a maqtaba on that scale.
Jazakallah khair.
Was he, Musa alayhi wasalam, were they doing like sujood and ruku and their prayer as well? Where did they...
The action generally of what we call sujood in all of its hayat, sujood is a general word, right? The way we make sujood now on seven parts of the body, right? Umirtu and asjuda, I was commanded to make sujood on seven parts of the body, the hands and the knees. This is the sujood of Islam. But the word sujood in Arabic is al-inhina, it's to bow in any way. So this idea of bowing as an act of worship has been fi qadim, like in the oldest time, and the angels bowed out of respect to Adam. So this issue of bowing to the different forms that it takes has been, you know, for in many cultures and religions. Yeah. Did you have some?
That's the case. Even mushrikeen who are not from Christianity or Judaism, they still have a form of sujood.
A form of sujood. Everyone has their own form of sujood, which is specific to them. But these actions of sujood, this action of bowing, and the lower you bow to, the more you show humility, until you put your face on the floor, is the most humility you can show. That is, those were present in many different religions and different beliefs. But in Islam, we have our sujood, which is the sajda the Prophet ﷺ showed us on seven parts of the body: the two hands and the two knees, the two feet, and the forehead and the nose. Okay, that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.